Psalms chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you that we can be here together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the fun that we can have. And now as we get into your word, Lord, we pray that you please use it to speak to our hearts, Lord, and change us and make us, Lord, into your image. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this chapter here in the book of Psalms that goes through and talks about how you can either be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, or you can be one that that is not a tree, but that is like the chaff that the wind driveth away. And the question that I have for you this morning is, are you rooted or rootless? Rooted or rootless? And we see here in this chapter, there are some different people that are mentioned here. We see the ungodly that are mentioned here, and they are the wicked that are neglecting the fear and the worship of God, and they violate the commands of God. We see the way of sinners here in verse number 1, and the sinner is one that is unregenerate, one who has not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a sinner saved by grace. If you're saved here this morning, you're a sinner saved by grace. Then we see the scorner that is here. We see the seed of the scornful. And the scorner is one who is a scoffer, a derider, one who scoffs at religion, its ordinances and teachers, one who makes a mock of sin and the judgments and threatenings of God against sinners. A scorner is somebody who the Bible says that we should smite. Smite a scorner so that the simple may beware. A scorner is not somebody that you're going to reach with truth and presenting the truth of the word or convince them to change their mind. No, their mind is already made up, and their mind is made up against the things of God, against the word of God. So we see here three different types of people, and we see this in our world today, do we not? We see those that are wicked, that neglect the fear and worship of God, and that is we see that increasing more and more. We see the Romans 1 type of, the Romans 1 type of sin creeping into our society today. We see this, the reprobate thinking and all those things, the wickedness of our land. We see that pervasive in our society and around the world. We see our world is filled with many who do not know the name of Christ, many who are just lost in sin, and they may be simple concerning what is right and wrong, but they are sinners. They do not know the right way or the wrong way. And then we see those that are just against God. They do everything they can to stand up against the things of God. They do everything to attack the word of God. Unfortunately, what we're seeing today is a lot of young people that are caught up and they are carried away by these individuals. Unfortunately, what we're seeing today is a lot of individuals that are carried away by the philosophies of men. When we see, I know many that I went to school with in the Christian school, and those even that I went to Bible college with that today are no longer in church. I know many that you probably know that they used to be here in this church. They used to be maybe in your class. They used to maybe join you in youth group or whatever the case may be, but they are no longer here. Unfortunately, many, when they graduate from high school and they go into they pursue a secular degree and they go to the secular colleges and they hear the philosophies of men, they get caught up in those things and they're like chaff that are blown away. So how do we as Christians not get caught up by those things? How do we as Christians, as young people, as adults, because just because I'm older doesn't mean that I am exempt from getting caught up by those things. And it's still, even though I may be 38 years old, I am still a human. I still have flesh that is tempted. The Bible says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We all have things that tempt us, that draw us away. We need to be aware of those things. We need to mark those things. We need to stay away from those things. And so as a Christian, how do I become a rooted Christian and not a rootless Christian? Well, it says here that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. As a Christian, I don't believe that we should hitch up with, or that we should be friends with, or that we should walk the way of those that are walking away from God. I don't believe that as a young person that your friends should be those that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. I don't believe that as a young person that your close friends, the people that you hang out with, are those that are not part of your church. I'm not saying that you can't befriend those that are maybe on your street or maybe your neighbors to win them to the Lord. I think that we ought to befriend the sinner, that we ought to befriend the ungodly with the purpose of reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that ought to be our focus and our mindset. Our focus and mindset I want to be accepted. It ought not be, well, I want to have a group of friends. I want to be able to be popular. I want to be able to be liked and loved and all those things. No, the focus ought to be, what does the Word of God say? How can I, as a young person, influence others for the cause of Christ? So let me ask you this morning, are you rooted or rootless? This morning, is your focus in being with the crowd, or is it being with God? Is your focus this morning just going along to get along, or is your focus, I want to do what's right, and I want to follow what the Word of God has to say? There are temptations that abound all around us. There are things that forces all around us that strive to pull us away from what is right and what is wrong. But if you do not, as it says in verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, if you do not, as it says in verse number 2, if your delight is not in the law of the Lord and in his law, meditate day and night. If you do not do that, you will not be like a tree. If you do not, as a young person, as an adult, no matter what stage of life you're in, if you do not purposely every day say, I am going to spend time in the Word. If you do not purposely every day say, I am going to spend time with God, I'm going to have a walk with God. And I'm not talking about, you know, reading 4 chapters a day and checking a box. I'm not talking about, having your set, 5 minutes of prayer or whatever. You know, well, I prayed today and I woke up this morning and I thank God for the day. No, I'm not talking about checking some box or saying, I'm in church, every week, and I'm there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and everybody knows that I'm in church all the time. And no, I'm not talking about doing things to be seen of men, or I'm not talking about doing things to check a box in your life. I'm talking about having an actual walk with God. I'm talking about getting in the Word of God and meditating on those things. You know, the Word of God has the answers of life for every part of life. It has all that pertains to life and godliness. And if we believe that, then we will get in the Word of God and we will let the Word of God permeate our hearts and minds. We will let the Word of God change our beliefs and our thinking, and we will fashion our thoughts and our ways and our plans after what the Word of God has to say. Let me ask you, is your delight in the law of the Lord? Is your delight in the Word, or is it in something else? Because what you delight in is going to determine the direction that you're going. Where is your delight? Because if your delight is in the counsel of the ungodly, the philosophy of this world, if your delight is in the way of the sinners, going with the flow and doing what is popular and accepted by the masses, if your delight is in mocking your faith that you've grown up with, mocking, so to speak, your church, mocking your pastor, mocking your parents, mocking your teachers, mocking the Word of God, if you get caught up in that, you're going to be like chaff. You know what chaff is? Chaff is refuse. Chaff is worthless matter. I don't for one second believe that God believes any of you are refuse or worthless matter, or he would not have sent his son to die on the cross for you. God did not save you. If you're a child of God, he did not save you to be refuse. He did not save you to be wasted. He did not save you to be cast out. I'd rather be the precious child of God living in the perfect will of God than be Satan's outcast. You know what Satan wants to do is he wants to chew up your life and spit it out. And if you get caught up in these things, that's what will end up. That's how your life will end up. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17. This is a parallel passage. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 5. The Bible says here, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Let me ask you this morning, rooted or rootless? You see, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. If you are this morning placing your trust in yourself, if this morning you are placing your trust in your intellectual abilities, if you are placing your trust in your education, if you are placing your trust in your pedigree, the family that you were born into, if you are placing your trust in the fact that you are a member at Faith Baptist Church, if you are placing your trust in the fact of what anything besides the Lord, cursed be that man. Time will tell what your trust is in. Time will tell whether you're trusting in man or trusting in God. Time will tell whether you're trusting in man, because you will be like a heath in the desert. You're not going to see the good that's coming. You're going to be like a parched place in the wilderness. There's not going to be anything in your life that you're going to perceive as good. You're not even going to perceive, if you're a child of God and you pursue the things of man, you pursue the things of this world, you're not even going to realize the goodness of God in your life, because you're going to be so blinded by the fact that you are trusting in man in this world's systems. But let me tell you this morning that if you are a Christian and a child of God, that you ought to set your hope and trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. As a child of God, we are to put our faith and trust in the Lord, and let him lead us and guide us as children of God, rooted in or rootless. There are some young people in Daniel chapter 1, and I know we're reading quite a bit of scripture this morning, but we'll end here in Daniel chapter 1, if you'll turn over there with me. There were some young people here in Daniel chapter 1. They got this. They understood what it meant to be rooted, and they took a stand. And it's no mistake that they did. It wasn't because of who they were, because of their pedigree, or just because they woke up one morning and they said, I'm going to take a stand for God. No, they determined in their heart that they were going to live for God. They determined that they were going to put their hope and trust in the Lord. In Daniel chapter 1, in verse number 1, it says there, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, under Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall he make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared, fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Boy, these young people, probably 14 to 17 years old, were taken out of their land. And they were taken into a foreign land, a land that was not familiar to them, a land that was not home to them. They were taken away from their family, their friends, their parents, and they were put in a situation that was a trial by fire, if you will. They were put in a situation that was not familiar to them, and they were there in a foreign land where it would have been easy for them to say, you know what, we're just going to go along to get along. We're going to take the counsel of the ungodly. We're going to stand in the way of sinners. We're in a foreign land where they worship other gods, and you know what, everybody else is doing it. They're going to teach us their language for 3 years. They're going to teach us their ways for 3 years. They're going to give us their food for 3 years. And you know what? I don't think we should rock the boat. I don't think that we should try to, you know, stand out because we don't know what they might do to us. They might kill us. They've killed some of our family. You know what? I think we ought to just get along. We ought to just go along with whatever they're saying. They had every reason, if you will, every excuse, if you will, to be able to go along with whatever the king of the land was telling them to do. And you see, there was only four of them. There was Daniel and his three friends. And the Bible only says that these four took a stand. And the interesting thing is that all of these children of Israel, these certain ones of the king's household, and these certain ones who are of royal blood, these certain children who in whom was no blemish, but they were well favored and they were skillful in wisdom and knowledge and understanding science. These certain ones, they would have known the ways of God. They would have been taught from a child what was right and what was wrong. They would have been taught, as the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, according to the word of God, what was right, what was wrong, and they would have heard these things along the way, what was right and what was wrong, and yet there were only four of them that decided they were going to take a stand. Let me tell you this, that as a young person, there are going to be very few that are going to take a stand. There are going to be very few in your life who, over the course of your life, will take a stand. There are going to be very few that will continue in the ways of the Lord. My prayer, and I'm sure your pastor's prayer, is that every one of you will continue in the ways of the Lord. But that doesn't happen just by happenstance. If Daniel and his three friends had been relying on their parents to keep them in the way of the Lord and to make sure that they were doing right, and they only did right because somebody was looking over their shoulder, then when they were removed from the authorities in their life, when they were removed from those things that were familiar in their life, then they would have at that very moment made decisions that were contrary to the word of God. But the fact is that they were not doing what they were doing because people were watching them. They were not doing what they were doing for public approval. No, they were doing things for the Lord. Their hope and trust was in Him. Their hope and trust wasn't in their parents. Their hope and trust wasn't in the religious system that they were in. Their hope and trust was in Almighty God. And they knew that no matter where they were, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, that most importantly was their relationship with God. Most importantly was that they trust in the Lord and that they obey His word. And as a young person, if you want to be rooted, you have to come to that place in your life where you determine, you know what, the most important thing in this life is my relationship with God. The most important thing in my life is having a walk with God, being in His word, staying true to His word, obeying His word, being involved in the church and the body that He has placed me in, and being faithful to what I know that He has called me to do. Nobody ever ends up on the mission field because they just wake up one day and they said, you know what, I think I'm going to go to the mission field. There is no pastor in ministry that's worth, you know, there's no good pastor, no good missionary that just wakes up one day and says, you know what, I'm going to be a pastor today. I believe that, you know what, I'm going to be a pastor and I'm going to start a church. No, it doesn't happen like that. You know what happens is that as a young person or as an adult, they get saved and God changes their life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when Christ comes in, when the Holy Spirit of Christ comes in, things begin to change. And as the Holy Spirit begins to change things and they begin to walk with God and spend time with God and they separate themselves from the things of this world and they separate themselves unto God, then God begins to work in their life and they decide decide that, hey, you know what, I'm going to be involved in the ministry that God has placed me in. I'm going to see where I can plug in, and I'm going to see what I can learn. I'm going to study to show myself approved unto God, and I'm going to follow God and follow His ways. And as they're following God and they're serving and they're yielding themselves to the Lord, then God says, I want to use you for my service. I want to call you into ministry. I want to set you apart to be a pastor. I want to set you apart to be a missionary. I want to set you apart for service for your life. It doesn't happen by somebody just waking up one day. Somebody who has been following in the way of sinners. Somebody who has been sitting in the seat of the scornful. Somebody who has been following the counsel of the ungodly. That person doesn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a pastor or I'm going to be a missionary. It doesn't happen like that. Rooted or rootless. The fact is that the devil wants to take your life and he wants to destroy it. The devil wants the choicest of God's children for his honor and glory. He wants to take their lives and he wants to destroy them. I'm going to take a couple volunteers, you guys right here. All right. So you're going to be my tree. All right. Face the crowd this morning. All right. You're going to be the chaff. You come on up here, buddy. And you're going to be the devil, all right? So, looks like the devil, all right? So, that in verse number 8, where it says they purpose in their heart, it gives that sense of being set, being fixed. It's like a tree that sends out its roots underground. You know, a tree has just as many, the length of the roots underground are just as expansive as the branches above the ground. And somebody who is set and fixed, it's like somebody being set in concrete. So, I'm going to pour some concrete around his feet this morning, all right? I'm going to pour some water in, all right? He's going to stand here for 10 days and let that concrete set really good, all right? And now, when things come, when trials come and the winds blow and the counsel of the ungodly comes and try to move him, all right, his feet are planted, his feet are set, his feet are fixed. All right, now this guy here, he's not set in the word. He's kind of in, he's kind of out. He's not spending time with God. He doesn't really think that it's all that important to read his Bible or pray or to set, you know, to be faithful in church to have godly friends. And so he's kind of just, you know, seeking what everybody else is doing and seeking the approval of his friends. And this guy, when the winds of life come and when things happen in his life that are unexpected, you know what happens? He just kind of gets blown around like straw in a tornado in Oklahoma, all right? So where he's in the wind tunnel, all right? And you know what the devil does is he tries to entice these guys, all right? He tries to entice them to follow him, to follow in the ways of the world, to follow in the philosophies of men. And so I want you to try to entice them away from God, all right? How are you going to try to entice them? Say, come on, I want you to come and let's go have a drink, all right? All right? How about just one puff on a cigarette? It won't hurt you. How about marijuana? You know everybody's doing it today. How about some rock music? Just a little bit of rock music. It won't hurt you. How about some contemporary Christian music? It's still Christian. Hey, let's leave the Faith Baptist Church, and you know there's a lot of people going to the non-denominational churches. Maybe they've got it right. And so this guy, he's like, all right, I'll go. And he leaves the protection, all right, that is there in his family. He leaves the protection. Maybe he has Christian parents. And he says, you know what? What my parents have been telling me, you know what? I don't think they know what they're talking about. What my pastor has been telling me, I don't think he knows what he's been preaching. You know what? The word of God, I don't think I really believe it. You know what what Satan's tactic is that we see in the book of Genesis, he said, yea, hath God said. And the devil, since the very beginning, has been attacking the word. And he wants people to question the word of God and to erode the foundation there of the word of God. And so he begins to question the word. He begins to question the authority of his parents. He begins to question the counsel of his pastor and what is being preached there in the church. And he begins to move away from his family, from the counsel of his pastor, from his church. And now he's all the way out here and he's isolated, right? He's separated away from the safety of the word of God. Like this young man who is rooted in the word and rooted there like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He is now separated and alone. The Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. A roaring lion is one who is not part of a pride, is not subject to a kingly lion, but is one who is on the prowl looking for prey. One who is ravenous, one who is not fed because he is not part of the pride, but is on his own and he's just trying to constantly usurp the power of the kingly lion. One who is constantly trying to overthrow the power. We can see that Satan trying to overthrow the power of God. And Satan is like that roaring lion who is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And now that he has been separated from all the safety that is there in the Word of God, there in the church, there in his family, and he's out here on his own, the devil's going to devour him. Can you devour him? No, all right. You guys can sit down. You see, in closing, the devil wants your life to be wasted. He wants it to be refuse. He wants it to be like chaff. And if he can separate you from your godly parents, from your pastor's counsel, from the Word of God, then he knows you'll be like chaff, ready for the picking. Let me ask you, Christian, let me ask you, child of God, are you rooted in the Word of God? Do you have a walk with God? Are you doing those things for approval from men, or because you desire to know him, that we may know him in the power of his resurrection? Rooted or rootless? With every head bowed and every eye closed, Pastor.
Geared that eventually, lost that thing, I guess, we would get around to, because it seems like in every conference we do, get around to a message that deals with your relationship with the Bible. Because you're not going to break the principle of what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. You're not going to break that. So, I just had met with a young adult in our church, and in the process of talking with them, and they're not a bad person, good person, faithful person, and in the process of talking with them, just asked, how's your Bible reading? And they said, I knew you'd ask me. It's not. Ah. You're a good young adult. You're faithful. But if you're not going to get in that book, you're not going to make it. I'm not talking about being a Bible scholar. Do you know that there are no Bible scholars? A scholar is someone who masters a subject. Nobody's ever mastered the Bible. Okay? So, but you ought to be a Bible student. And if you're not, you probably will end up, like Brother Dice said this morning, like the Word of God says, you'll probably end up like chaff. That is a great point, that God didn't create you to be chaff. He didn't give his son to die for us so that we could be chaff. It doesn't even make sense. But you're not going to beat the principle that what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. So you can ignore it. That's what God does with you. Or you can get yourself planted in it. I don't mean, like he said, reading 4, 8, 12 chapters a day. How about 10 verses? How about 20 verses a day? And that's what and again, this is one of these things that's not just for kids. It's not just for teenagers. This is a young adult person I was talking with. Okay? Out of high school. A good person. really good person, but slipped away from the Word of God. So, rooted or rootless? Rooted or rootless? Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless the invitation. May it be something that we take seriously. And maybe some need to respond today to make some kind of promise to you about their relationship with your Word. While she plays, the altar is open, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.